Yeah, but you signed up. You should have gotten a penny and you didn't, so then where do you go?
Well, go back and just make sure you're signed up. Just double register. Go back and register again. Go through the process, because anyone brand new can register for automatic deposit. So you just go back into the system and register for automatic deposit. Just make sure you go through that.
Well, when I keep checking on that, it gives me a little box in the left-hand corner, but then it says click here. Well, then there's nowhere to click.
I can't, again.
Okay, that's all right. I'll keep on until
another thing, I can't
somebody.
Go over all that stuff. Okay, just try
Mary
to
Jo,
keep
I
looking.
Have a couple
yep.
questions I just need to ask. And
okay.
You might be the person that
and
can help
me. And then jump in training. Okay. One more
I'm
question.
Dealing
go
with,
ahead.
I have two people that I registered on Friday. And they're showing in this business period versus last business period, which impacts pay for people. Is there any way or person I should go to find out about that?
Yeah, absolutely. If they were supposed to have been in last period.
Yeah, they registered them on Friday, and they're showing up for Saturday, so now they're showing in this business period versus last business period, and they were supposed to be there because that impacted $100 for other people.
You betcha. Well, what I would do is send an email first and let them know that in TI what happened and just say, I'll give you 48 hours to correct this. And then if you don't see it corrected by Wednesday, then go and call.
Okay.
Okay.
And it could also be that
they're still correcting. They could self-correct that over the next 48 hours. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they're still probably pending, so that's probably why they're showing up.
Well, they're showing up, but they're showing up already registered for the 21st versus the 20th.
Right. They're in the wrong period. But I'm suggesting that's because they got to those. They got backlogged on Friday night. The computer shifted over at 12 o'clock, and they still had 5 hours of orders and stuff to put through, and now they have to backdate those. That's just going to take them a day or two to adjust to get that through. I would put it on record that you're complaining about it in an email, so
right.
that they know that you were aware of it and you're complaining about it. But I wouldn't be on a phone call for 2 hours waiting for them until like Wednesday. I would wait till Wednesday to see if it self-corrects.
All right, that's good.
A lot
see,
of
and
these
the one thing I found
out
that Mary Ann too, she told me one of these guys I registered on 4:17 to 9:54 a.m. And then I registered him at 4:20 at 1:59 p.m. The same guy, and she said, if you don't see anything within 3 to 24 hours, re-register the person. That's what she told me. I thought that was very interesting. But my second question is, are you having problems with people in doing auto orders that their credit cards have been just fine, and all of a sudden they're in exception now, and when you go to try and rerun them, they're still sitting in exception. They said, no, they won't go through. And if so, what are you doing with these people when there's nothing wrong with their credit cards?
I'm sending notice to Manatech saying there's absolutely nothing wrong with this person's credit cards, or there's a glitch in your system. Please be aware of it and correct it as soon as possible. End of story.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. It's not our issue, it's their issue. They just need to know that it's their issue, and you need to let them know it's their issue. Then that'll trigger them to know. They'll have to research it and find out if it's a glitch in the program somewhere.
Yes, good morning. Got a prescription for
okay.
Janet.
Okay. Great, thank you.
That's good, Dominic.
Okay, people, let's jump in and do a training this morning. We could talk for hours just on all the glitches in the programs. I just don't want you to let those grab you and take hold of you and go crazy and hurt your business. I don't know about you guys, but we almost broke another presidential last period because of skincare and stuff. So you got to keep doing your business. It's about maintaining your business, keep doing it, allow that frustration and just kind of just say, you know, we need to go through it. I talked to a gentleman this weekend. I'll just share with you one thing. I talked to a gentleman that used to be in XL. Now, we know XL went out of business because a big telephone companies put them out of business, squashed them like a bug on the windshield. But this gentleman was in XL for a number of years, and he heard about what was going on. He just signed up in Manatech, only been there for about a month, and he acknowledged what was going on with the computer shift. And he goes, do you understand when we were in XL, that was an annual event? An annual event. They would be like shut, and he says, we were shut down for a month sometimes. He says, blah, blah, and I go, you see, no matter how bad it might look, there's always something worse out there. So whatever's going on, I just want you to just keep remembering that glass is half full, not half empty, and keep that positive light.
Mary Jo.
All right,
a question, Mary Jo. If someone, say, was regional before and they dropped status, do they have to write an email to keep that same status, saying
no.
they had problems, or it will automatically be done?
Automatic.
Okay.
Automatic. There's automatic. Sam said,
okay.
whatever
Thank
your
you.
Status was in period 3, you will be declared a same exact leadership status in period four, even if it had nothing to do with the computer problems. He's guaranteeing you get to get paid at the same rate of leadership level that you were in period three, okay? No requirement on your part to notify them, okay?
Mary Jo, I just wanted to mention, you mentioned it real quick. I think what took my frustration out was making sure to send an email to somebody, because that way you always have some kind of hard copy.
Correct.
And that way you know that down the road, if they don't get it straightened out, you've got some kind of proof.
Good.
That really takes the pressure off of
person. Perfect. It takes total pressure off of you. That's why I tell people to do it. It's probably my lawyering background that tells me to do that. Just
but everything. They should just email it anyway. Just that
Absolutely.
Way they got it out there.
Absolutely. Put it
really
in the system. Because the other thing that happens with it is this. What if they get to your email before they get your phone call? I mean, that can happen too, right? I mean,
yeah,
they're answering emails as well, so why not, you know?
It just takes your frustration away, and you know you've got it documented, at least
out
there.
Exactly. You've got a written document showing you voiced your problem so that if a week from now it's still not resolved, you can pop it up and say, this is what I sent you, this is exactly what I said, here's how it was plotted out, and I still haven't gotten a response. So your fault, not mine. Perfect.
Just thought I'd mention that.
Perfect.
I think the other thing to remember during this period is just take more plus.
Yeah.
That also helps.
Yeah, plus sales. You think skin care has gone off the roof, you just see the plus sales. No. No, that's another good one. I like that, too. All right, people, let's talk about business partners today. And I kind of made a shift in this because of a lot of things that are happening out there. People are finding new business people and asking that question. It's coming up a lot as the business starts taking off with the new skincare line and everything. So I thought, well, what a great topic to talk about and just go back and relook at business partnering, because that's really what we're in the business about. You know, when you're doing this business, you want to help support yourself and support your organization by finding partners. I use the word partners because I'm making a shift in that language. I historically always call them business builders because that's what we always hear about in network marketing. But I liked Wendy Kramer's analysis when I heard her talk about it, and she said, you know, builders, it's removed, it's a little cold, it makes it sound like you're independent out there. When you talk about business partners, you make people feel like they're part of a team. And you really are partnering in business, and that's really what we do when we bring somebody along. Obviously, there's just a tremendous amount of support and effort we put into each and every person to allow them. I've got a dog barking in the background, so I'm going to put everybody on mute. I'm sorry.
It was me. I'm sorry, Mitch.
Okay, so anyway, so I'm making that shift in my languaging, and that's why you're seeing the word business partner. I think it's a softer word, and I think it really aligns with exactly what we do. We're about teamwork, and we're about, you know, support, and I think it's a warmer word for somebody, and it makes people feel like they're part of something. And we want to always make people who jump on board feel like they're part of something. It's a very important strategy in terms of getting them over that hump about, I can do this. So anyway, so business partners, where do I find them? How do I recognize them? How do I approach them? You know, those are kind of three major keys that we have to look at when we talk about business partners. So the first thing I'll kick off and talk about is just some different places to look at to find business partners. Because one of the things that we tend to do is we go after people, next door neighbors, medical support group people, all sorts of different categories of people we go after. And what we keep finding ourselves is we're getting people that are not very self-motivated, they're not very successful, they, you know, aren't success-minded, they have scarcity mentality instead of wealth consciousness, and then we just beat ourselves to death trying to make these people work out for us as business builders in our organization, and we get discouraged. And then we look at it and we say, network marketing doesn't work. Well, I'll take issue with anyone that says network marketing doesn't work. I think it's the most efficient method of distribution. I think it's been a phenomenal business opportunity for anyone who steps into it. And if the reason it's not working for you, you got to start looking at, why is it not working for me? I read a great article this weekend, and I recommend you get it if you guys don't have Network Marketing Times. There's a woman, I think her name was Dana Collins, and she talked about how, you know, her whole approach to network marketing, when she got involved, every time she came up against, you know, a plateau, or her business was just flat, or she started losing business, or something was going wrong, she never looked at network marketing as a problem. She always looked at herself. And when I look back at my network marketing experience, I can tell you that's exactly the same way I approached it. It's about, how can I be different? How can I do things differently? What is it going to take
for me to get to certain levels to do things differently. And it's just about stepping into it and making that analysis and saying, how can I be different? And I just went through another part of that in my life and in other areas as well as Manatech in the last couple of weeks. Coming out of Manifest, it was a real triggering time for me to say, okay, Mary Jo, how are you going to be different? Because I'm setting new goals, and I just need to, I need to shift. For things to be different, I need to be different. And I love that attitude because it's not about the model. It's not about network marketing. It's truly about us. So if you want to shift, if you're looking at your organization, you're saying, I'm just not attracting enough business partners. All I got is a whole slew of consumers, and it's great to have consumers because, trust me, people, when I look at my consumer base and my organization, they're my diamonds. They're the ones that order week in, week out, month in, month out. They consume the products every day, and, you know, they are the bread and butter of our business. Now, what makes the dynamics of our business are our business partners. So we want business partners, too, because that's the growth element. But always appreciate your diamonds. Always appreciate your diamonds. So if we want business partners, so we have momentum and we build the energy and we build that growth in our business, we've got to take a different approach. We've got to look at ourselves and say, why am I not attracting them and what do I have to do differently? One of the things that you should highly consider is, where are you going? Are you looking for business partners? I just was coaching somebody over the weekend on this issue alone because I said, every single time you approach people, you approach it with glyconutrients. You're talking about product. And that's exactly what she's doing. And product's great. We have great products. There's no doubt about it. But if what you want in life is business partners, you've got to step into the reality that I have to start asking for it. I have to start, you know, it's kind of like ask and you shall receive. As a man thinketh, so is he. All these truths, these absolute truths in our universe, truisms, support us in knowing that if we want something, it doesn't just land on our plate. So we have to pursue it. So why aren't we pursuing business people? Because we feel awkward in how we talk about it. We have a chicken list. I'd like all of you to just get out your chicken list today and say, I'm no longer having a chicken list. And for those of you who don't understand, because you might be new in networking and you don't understand the word chicken list, that connotation is about putting together a list of people that you know, but you've never approached because you have a fear around approaching them. Could be your lawyer, your doctor. It could be the deacons at church. It could be, you know, your next-door neighbor who's the vice president of marketing for some company. It's people that you just, you, in your own prejudgment, have either decided they're not going to be interested or you're scared to death to go approach them because they're sophisticated business people and they have so much more knowledge than you have. Well, you know, if the person who approached me would have said, oh, she's a lawyer and she'll never be interested, da, 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 you know, I mean, you get what happens to you. You're never going to find the aces in the deck if you have a fear of approaching them. You've got to step up to the plate and say, you know, why can't I approach people? I believe in what this is. So now let me approach people to talk about it. So, and that gets into your belief system. Phenomenal opportunity, incredible residual income. And some people are just looking for an extra $1,000 a month. They don't need to be platinum presidential. But you have this idea, oh, platinum presidential is too hard to get to, so I can't approach somebody and talk about that. Well, maybe that's not what they need. Maybe that VP of marketing who lives next door has, you know, just needs a little Kiyosaki understanding, and he's probably already read Kiyosaki stuff. And he's looking everywhere for alternative streams of income, and you have a great one. So you can approach him from, hey, have you familiar with, you know, Robert Kiyosaki stuff? And if he says no, you can talk about it, the cash flow quadrants and the concepts around that. I mean, it's just it's hitting people where they are and opening up the doors of possibility in their life that you know you have, but looking at it from a business perspective instead of exclusively product perspective. So where do you go to find business builders? I'm going to suggest you step out and you start visiting, like, civic clubs. And I put Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions. There's tons of civic clubs out there. All you got to do is look at your newspaper. Usually a local newspaper at least once a week publishes all the meetings that are held around civics clubs. Yeah, they're endless. And every one of those groups are always looking for speakers. So you can make contact with these people and line yourself up to speak at different ones of their meetings. And what you're going to open a can of worms. You're going to open doors. You're going to open yourself up to meeting new people that you've never put yourself in front of before. And what a great opportunity that is. So, and my attitude towards it would be to approach it purely from a business perspective. Sometimes we go in front of these groups, we talk about what? We talk about glyconutrients. Well, that's great, but, you know, not everybody's unhealthy or not everyone has that is in that paradigm and not everyone's going to be open to that. When you're talking to a group of businessmen, I would talk business. It'd be all business. It would be about the perfect storm. It'd be, you know, we'll talk about what materials and how to approach that. But you got to, you know, look at these people as they're business people and everybody. There's not a person I don't know that couldn't use, you know, another stream of income. Another area is Toastmasters clubs. It's one of the largest public speaking organizations in the world. And, of course, once you join, you have to give your own talk. So, but then again, what happens? You go up and you give your talk. You don't give a talk on business, the greatest business in the world. You don't talk about trend analysis. You know what you talk about at your Toastmasters? You talk about glyconutrients. Well, what are you trying to attract? Consumers, or are you trying to attract business partners? Look at yourself and why you're doing that and make a shift and go, okay, I'm going to talk the business. There's plenty of great stuff out there. I could talk about the business for endless hours. I can also talk about glyconutrients for endless hours, but it's a choice of how you place yourself out in the public on what you're going to attract back. Like attracts like. You want to attract business builders, then be a businessman or be a business person. So you have to look at, and the neat thing about Toastmasters clubs, which I love about that angle, is the people who join Toastmaster clubs are people that are committed to what? They're committed to improving themselves. And that's the type of person you want in your organization. You want to find people who are committed to change. They're committed to improvement. They're the people that are going to say, yeah, I'd love it. Yeah, power of purpose, yeah, I'll go. Clemmer work, oh, yeah, I can't wait to go to, you know, do that. Mastermind, oh, yeah, I can't wait to be in a mastermind group. They're going to see and they're going to be enlightened to the fact that as long as they stay in that growth mode and they continue along personal development, they're going to create incredible greatness in their life. So that you're already, so you're kind of doing a sorting by going to Toastmasters, finding people are already committed to that. Attend charity events and fundraisers. The more expensive, the better, because those people are, you know, they're in search of fulfillment by contribution. They're looking things. I am getting involved in politics in the Dallas area, and I'm going to a luncheon. I'm going to meet one of the presidential hopefuls. I'm going to a luncheon at the end of April for that. I'm going to be, you know, and I don't really have a lot of time in my schedule to do all of that, but, you know, to me, it's another incredible avenue for me to step into people's lives and be able to be who I am and present, number one, the joy I have in my life and the incredible opportunity it is to be able to live your life and do what you want to do every day of your life, do exactly what you want to do and live a life of that kind of fulfillment to other people as an opportunity. So I just want to step into that. And in a political atmosphere, you're looking at people who want change. They want new direction. They want to make a difference. They, you know, so they're in search of contribution, making a difference. So that's, you know, getting involved in those kind of things. And charity events are the same thing, you know, big fundraisers for different charities. As you see them pop up, you may not, you know, maybe there's a minimum amount, like my luncheon's going to cost me $1,000. You may not want to pay $1,000 to go have lunch. But, you know, the concept about the more expensive, the better, is it's just going to get you to a different level of people. It's going to get you to around people that aren't coming from scarcity. It's going to get you around people that are coming from what? They're coming from a wealth consciousness. So it's opened new doors for you. Some of you, that's a scary proposition. But, you know, if you don't get out of your own way and you don't get out of that prejudgment around that, you're never going to find those kind of people that are going to accelerate your business for you. So, and the people that go to these incredible charity events and fundraisers are people that have endless contacts. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about, because it's a networking experience. Fundraisers, charity events, those kind of things are always networking. And that's what we are. We're networkers. So what better place to go than to networking events to find other great networkers? And that's what this is, where you're trying to get to, is finding networkers. Some of you don't look at that, but you got to open your eyes to it. I think charity events and fundraisers are super places to find business partners for you. attend personal development seminars and workshops. A lot of people find some of their best business builders out of those events. Because, again, those are people who are just totally into investing in themselves and making themselves better. They're into self-development. They're into improving themselves. Those are the kind of people you want to be affiliated with because that process never ends. It's a constant process. Joining clubs. You join country clubs, tennis clubs, yacht clubs, golf clubs, any kind of clubs. And here's, again, a money concept. So if you don't have the cash flow to do it, then don't do it. But maybe you can find some clubs you can join that are very inexpensive. It doesn't have to be the best country club. I love to golf, and I'm not a member of a country club. Those are the kind of things. Attending those kind of things and joining those kind of things will help open up new avenues for you. Or if your husband's a member of some of those things, or your spouse, whatever, participate in some of those events to kind of rub elbows with some of those people. Now, I know when I say that, sometimes in a group of people, I say, yeah, hobnob with the rich and famous, and everybody goes, oh, Mary Jo, but, those people are, meh, meh. And I just look at everybody in a group. It's so funny because all of a sudden I get all this judgment coming back about what we think about the rich and famous. We got all this judgment. We got all this preconceived notions. We got all this stuff. And, all that stuff you have about the rich people is exactly why you're not rich. Because if that's how you view rich people, what do you think is holding you back from ever being wealthy? Because you have all this prejudgment around what rich people are like, and why are you ever going to become one of those, quote unquote? You got to get rid of that prejudgment. People that have a lot of money, there are a lot of people in this world that have a lot of money. And those people are doing phenomenal things in this world. Just start looking at the charities that are going on. You look at Bill Gates and the billions of dollars he's putting into, supporting different charities across the world and what he's doing in Africa. It's phenomenal. I wish I had the billions Bill Gates had so that I could make those kind of differences. Because money is just paper with ink on it, but it produces incredible results in our country in so many ways that when you don't have that silly piece of paper with ink on it, you can't quite affect the same results. So the beauty of it, it's not about prejudging, and it's about what these people are doing when they accrue their wealth and watching the incredible things. And some of us get jealous about that, and that's another reason not to like the rich people. It's just so much stuff we have around them. You got to put that aside. You got to get rid of it. Take a big X and cross it through. And for those of you coming from the Christian element, that's so sinful. It's sinful nature. You love to quote that scripture about, the likelihood of a rich man getting to heaven is like a camel going through an eye of a needle. Well, that had nothing to do with a needle that you use for sewing. That's not what the Lord was saying. It had to do with the pillars around Jerusalem about, rich men can't get to heaven if all they've done is storehouse all their wealth all their life, because none of that's going in staying on a camel's back when you go through the pillars on your way to Jerusalem. That you can't fit the camel through. But it was no statement about rich people. It was a statement about rich people who all they care about is storing up all their wealth. Well, there are tons of rich people out there that take their wealth and they put tons of it into phenomenal services. So you got to overcome your prejudgment on that. Sorry to get on that diversion, but I see it so often out there, and it really is a huge issue of what holds us back from accruing the wealth that the Lord has in store for us, because we have so much prejudgment. And once you classify rich people as X, Y, and Z, you're never going to be one, because you're never going to work or accomplish or get to a point where you're going to create X, Y, Z. It's against your whole premise of who you want to be in life. So if that's the connotation you've given to them, you foreclose the opportunity of ever getting there yourself. Move is another concept that comes up. Moving into a nicer neighborhood, finding out, neighborhood is more important than the house. Who cares about a house? Just have a better neighborhood. So move doesn't just mean in terms of where you live. It means the associations with whom you're making. It's about moving into different arenas, pushing yourself outside your known zone, because I call a comfort zone known zone, and making yourself uncomfortable. Going into that arena you know, even in just discussing the ideas I've already discussed, a lot of you are already out of your comfort zone because you're going, I can't do that, or I'm not going to do that, or because you got all this stuff about it. You got all this preconceptions and prejudgment, you know, and so you won't do it. Well, that's you making choices. You don't want to find business partners. So it's about moving into different environments. Surround yourself with a successful and effective people. When you surround yourself with successful and effective people, even if you never sign one up as a business partner, you know what? You're going to be more successful and effective because you're going to be influenced by your own environment. So look at that, creating a better environment. Speaking, become a speaker. Become an entertaining public speaker. Some of you will do that. Some of you will never do that. And that's okay. It doesn't, you know, I'm not telling you to go out there and spend 5 years developing speaking skills. I'm saying if you have any kind of speaking skills, work on developing them. Go to Toastmasters, and that'll help you do it too. And then be on a speaking tour. Go to speak to different places. I love this kind of stuff. I mean, this is my cup of tea. I just started a whole training. Here's another thing for you. I started yesterday teaching on how to restructure your financial status in a godly way. I started a brand new program, how to restructure your financial status in a godly way. And I'm doing a 5-week course on that, and I started for the first time yesterday. I spoke for 2 hours. Just because I love training, and I love teaching, and I love to speak, and it's just another exposure for me. So all the people in that class, you know, one of them came up to me afterwards and said, you know, Mary Jo, I'm not really in a lot of debt. I've really handled my finance as well, but I've been a dancer all my life, and and I can no longer do that because my age, denies me the opportunity. So now I have to look at possibilities of other streams of income. I've read Kiyosaki's book, and you know, I'm listening to this guy, and I'm going, ding, ding, ding. Here's my next business builder, right? Well, if I never would have put myself in a speaking engagement to set up a program like that, I never would have gotten exposed to this gentleman. I was never meeting him other places in my life. But this gave an opportunity. So and that's just the first one. I mean, there are other people I had to leave soon thereafter, so I only talked to two of them. But you can imagine what I've opened up in terms of another opportunity for me to find more business partners for my business just because I'm teaching another class. So speaking engagements just really put you out there. I spoke a couple years ago at something called the Millionaire Mindset, and I got to give my story about how to become a millionaire and what that means and, you know, in terms of the many, many blessings and how to bless others. And it was just a blast that I got to speak in front of about 60 people. And out of that group, I think we signed up 10 people in Manatech. And it had nothing to do with Manatech. It had to do with I was asked to be a speaker because once you start speaking, other people find out you love to speak and they'll start asking you to come and talk on different topics, and it just opened doors for you everywhere. So the audience always comes because, you know, one of the things that's true about all this is that the audience always looks at you as the expert. So you all of a sudden become the expert, and that's okay. You may not be an expert in all those things, but they look at you and perceive you as one. So you just set yourself up for success, and you attract successful people. Okay, so those are just some ideas on how to look at going after and finding business partners that are going to be people that are going to explode your business for you and help you grow your Manatech business, because what you have is a business, and you want to treat it as a business, you want to grow it as a business, and you want to find appropriate business partners. How do you recognize one? What characteristics do you look for? And again, one of our greatest mistakes that we make is we tend to go after mediocrity. We're so desperate for business partners that we take on anyone who looks, smells, feels, you know, most of it comes in our dreams. Most of it comes in our head. We'll look at somebody and we'll go, oh my gosh, she said she might be interested in doing the business. And we get so wound up, we get so excited about it. Did you analyze it? Have you really looked? Is this person the right kind of person? Or are you going to be working with this person for a year trying to make them into somebody they're not? Big question. We just get so wound up and so excited about business builders that we tend to pour into anyone that even mentions a possibility. But so let's look at characteristics of a top-notch networker. And you know, the other thing I want to suggest you guys do is that I gave a training on this at Manifest a couple of years back, and if you haven't done it, it's how to attract the perfect business builder. Of course, then I was using the language business builder instead of partner, so you get that. How to attract the perfect business builder. It's a PDF and a downloadable, you know, a file so you can MP3, so you can listen to the training and you can get the outline and go through that. It's just a great one in terms of, you know, depicting characteristics of what makes a great business builder. And it's fun because you're going to hear it live, a live presentation, and you're going to get characteristics at the whole, because I always do it in an experiential way. I get the class to tell me what are the most important characteristics of a great business builder. So they actually build that on that talk to help you understand what you're looking for. But here's a list. Steve Siebold, who's a big network marketing guru and does lots of trainings around it, he gives this list of five things to look at in sorting people. Number one is attitude. What kind of attitude does the person have? How does he feel about his current work situation? When you hear somebody who's a whiner and complainer and the glass is always half empty, you know, think twice about it. When you hear somebody talk about their current work, because we know that, 80% of the people in this world don't like their job. They can't stand what they're doing. 80%. And I think the statistic may even be higher than that. That's the last one I saw a few years back, that they don't like their work. So you're going to hear people complain about it, but are they complaining about it? What reference point are they complaining? Are they saying, you know what, this is the kind of person I want. I want a person who says, you know what, I'm working really hard at this job, but I just don't feel fulfilled. I mean, it's a great job, my employer's fine, you know, and I'm making okay money, but I just feel so empty at my job. I don't feel like it's not satisfying my passion. And I go, whoa, why is that the person I want? Because they're not blaming the employer or the employment for their problem. They're looking internally and saying, wow, getting filled. And then they're talking the language passion. I want people to be passionate. I want people to find the passion and live their passion, because that's truly when they're going to have the greatest joy, happiness, and they're going to have the greatest results in their life, when you live your passion. So I love it when people talk like that. So that's the kind of language I look for. Again, you decide what your language you want, because what you're looking for when people talk about their current work situation, you're looking at what is their attitude around it, what are they really portraying, because, see, when they come in your organization and you get them signed up as a business builder or a business partner with you, they're going to attract that same kind of attitude from other people. So be careful. The law of attraction is always working. So look at their attitude, see what there is. The glass half empty, half full, you know. You got to reflect what they think about right now is what they're going to reflect in your business organization and your Manatech business. Number two, worldview. How does the person view the world? You know, you have those people out there that say, oh, man, the world owes me, they owe me, and, you know, I've been through all of this, and, you know, it's time today that I get repaid. I mean, I need to, you know, those needy people that are, you know, it's about somebody else making something for them. Wow. I'd say watch out for that attitude. That's credible worldview when everybody owes you something. And those are people that read too much of the paper and they get so tied up in these multi-million-dollar athletes. How about these? You know, I was just reading the paper the other day and it said this guy got $22 million as his salary. I don't think anyone should get $22 million as a salary. That just happens to be Mary Jo's opinion. I think it's outrageous where our society has gone in terms of paying CEOs a company. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what their CEO status is. $22 million, it's ridiculous. Of course, I don't think professional athletes should get paid $150 million contracts either, but that, again, is my attitude about it. But when I read that, I don't look at it as the world owes me something because of how outrageous the pay is getting for them. That's not the way I perceive, but people do that. They right away think, oh, man, if they're going to pay that people that much, the world owes me something, you know. So you've got to look at what's their worldview, make sure they're not ones that are saying the world owes me. If a person thinks that network marketing is a way to get rich quick, watch out. Turn the other way and walk the other direction. They'll kill you. They'll kill you. Because they're going to just get on board, they're going to be hot as fire, and they're going to drop dead in 3 months. Those are people. Network marketing isn't a get-rich-quick scheme. You don't want to attract those kind in your downline. You want the people that love to work hard, believe working hard and working smart and persevering is what create results. Those are the people you want. Beliefs. What is the prospect belief? Because we know as man thinketh, so is he. What is the belief about themselves? You really want to find people who believe in themselves. They believe that they can make a difference. That's what you're going to look for. And I use that What I talk to people about, I say, do you want to live your life out of your past? I always look to see whether they believe in their past, because some people say, oh, I've done network marketing before, and I know it can't work for me. And I go, oh, so you believe that your past controls your future? And if they say yes to that, we got a problem, because I don't want people who come from probability. I want people living from possibility. I want people to believe they can create anything. I want them to believe in Scripture when they say anything is possible through God. I want them to truly believe it. And those are the people I'm looking for, because those are the people that they can look at something and say, okay, let's go create it. They're in that creative mode, looking forward mode, future mode. Ego is another problem. We got a lot of ego people out there. Ego can be serve you and it can destroy you. It depends on whether they're ego-driven. If ego-driven people are typically loners, they're lone wolves out there, they're uncoachable. They know it all. You're not going to teach them anything, and they're going to be a nightmare and a headache to you from the get-go. And they're going to probably attract some other very egocentric people. So be careful on that one, too. It might not be something you want to manage in your organization. And then look at values. You know, find ambitious people who are ambitious people, but they're ambitious because they're run not because they want to accumulate phenomenal wealth and just storehouse it, but they have incredible compassion and they're mission-oriented. So look at where their values are and look for partners who are consistent with your values. And, again, go back to that how to attract the perfect business builder training that I did at Manifest. The third category, and we'll try to get through this quickly because we only have 1 minute left. Okay, what do I use to attract a new business partner? What do I use? And I gave you a whole laundry list of things, and there's tons more, but some people sometimes don't even know how to share business. They don't know what materials to get. I love the Social Security statistics. I think this just really impacts people in a huge way when they understand that the Social Security Administration issued this. They said out of 100 people at the start of their career, where are they at age 65? And I gave you the statistics in the outline. 36 dead, 54 dead broke, 5 will continue working not because they want to but because they have to, 4 will be financially secure, and only 1 will be wealthy. So where do you want to be? Yesterday when I did my financial training seminar, I gave them those statistics, and there's a guy who said, I don't want to be in the top 5, I want to be the 1. And Paul Zane Tilzer has a brand new, it's a 8-page booklet, it's 16 pages front and back, beautiful color pictures and all that kind of stuff. It's a booklet. In the back cover, it's got a dual disc, half CD, half DVD, which presents an incredible, compelling presentation on The Perfect Storm, talking about the 3 major trends going on right now, the huge growth in millionaires, 10 million new millionaires in the next 10 years, the wellness revolution, which is just catapulting in growth, and the direct selling industry. You know, that we're getting into belly-to-belly, we're getting into people are information-driven, but information that's communicated in a personal way. So it's a great, great little tool to use. And we ordered a whole slew of them at Manifest, so we have them. If you're interested in getting, I think they're between $4 and $5. But it's a great tool to hand to people. I mean, when you're working with those people at the Lions Clubs and you're going, I don't know what to tell them, you can give them The Perfect Storm Opportunity by Paul Zane Tilzer. They'll respect the Pilzer name. They may not know who you are from, Adam, but they're going to respect Pilzer. And let them review that. Let the materials do the sales for you. You don't have to sell them on it. Let the materials sell it for them. So that's why I like that tool. I think it allows you to at least separate so you don't have to feel like you have to be the expert. You can let Pilzer, because he is the expert. Okay, so if you want to get some of those, you can contact Lydia. Anyone on my Monday call can buy through us, too. I open that door up. Kiyosaki has, you know, of course, all of his books on, you know, the business builder's books, cash flow quadrants, talk about multiple streams of income. I use his stuff a lot with people who already have jobs, because I don't tell them to quit their job. If they already have a job and they like what they're doing, I really build with people the concept that it's time you step in and build alternative streams of income, because really that's the only way you're going to get your financial freedom. And that's what I work, even with successful people. They're still looking, because with Enron and all the other, there's some insecurity in every marketplace. So why not have an alternative stream of income? Donald Trump's quote, I love to use that too. If he lost everything, how would he start over? He says with network marketing, because it's the quickest way to become a millionaire. It's a great quote. We use that. Paul Zane, the next millionaires, 10 million new millionaires in the next 10 years. He's got DVDs and CDs out there and stuff like that and books. So you can use that. That's a great, I always love that material. I actually did some trainings on it. The IBM Health Report, I think, is awesome. If you're not using that in your business today, you're missing the boat. use the summary, 8-page summary of the IBM health report. And when you read that, people, because it's IBM strategic development section doing a year analysis on trends, and they looked at healthcare, and they said by the year 2015, are we going to be in win-win or lose-lose, and we as a world, we're going to shift to preventive health. And it emphasizes the critical importance of how much preventive health is going to be part of our life. And you guys are in that arena. That's what the wellness, you know, industry is about. And so it really helps you in your head, as well as other people's heads, seeing the critical importance of being on this trend, part of this massive movement that's going to just change this world. I think it's huge. It's just, and it's a reinforcement from an independent third party. And then I just listed some things for unemployed people. Just don't sell them on getting a job. Sell them on starting a new lifestyle. Always work on lifestyle change. Gen Xers, always, they're about early retirement, retire young, retire rich. Great book out there. Use materials showing retirement plan as well as marketing plan. You have to have a marketing plan. You must have a marketing plan. You must set them up and say, here's how to do it. A, B, C, D. Here's the step 1, 2, 3, 4 in this. Because the number one question in a prospect's mind is, can I do this? So you better have a marketing plan. Whatever that is that you choose to do, have a marketing plan. And the marketing plan is not our compensation plan. So many people say, oh, where's your marketing plan? They hand them a comp plan booklet with buckets. That's not a marketing plan. A marketing plan is a plan of how I grow my business. What am I going to do? What tools? Am I using backpacks, Mark Thiel approach? Am I using Howard Marshall or Marshall Howard? I mean, are you using Ian Harvey's, you know, Just Get Nine, the Wellness 101 program? What, have a marketing plan, okay? And then you also have the mothers, moms, day groups, and all that kind of stuff. And the last thing is skincare. Of course, we have Massive, and we're going to talk more on skincare. How do I find business builders in skincare? We'll use that as a topic of itself because we're doing so much in the skincare arena. But you've got to be able to attract people in the business realm around the skincare as well. Okay, I'm going to take everybody off mute and basically just be able to say goodbye because I think we're over. Hang on.
Okay. Mary Jo, is it possible
Lydia okay, any questions
about the IBM Health Report?
IBM Health Report.
Get that ball from him.
I gave it. I gave you a reference where you can, and
no.
I'll send it out again. I gave you a website on one of my prior calls, and I will send it out again, so you can download it off of the internet.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet.
Mary Jo, can we have you go over a marketing plan to help us walk through one?
Sure. Well, I can't do it right now because it's going to be paid, but I will, if you want me to set up and talk about different marketing plans, I can do that for you. Would that help everybody?
Yeah, let's
yes.
do a meeting
yes.
on that. Yeah.
All right, let's. Next Monday's call, we'll talk about marketing plans. How's yes.
that? Awesome.
Okay, great. And what marketing plans look like and how to present it to people, because that's, you feel like you're falling short on that end probably, right? Because there's so much
right.
out there.
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, how do I do it? You go, well, here's your comp plan booklet. You go, and they're like,
Mary
no,
Jo?
How do I do it? Right, okay.
Mary Jo, Joellen here.
Huh? Hi, Joellen.
Hi there. I just wanted to thank you because I wanted to remind people, when we were at the Presidential Unity Peak, a man stepped up to the microphone and he said, out of curiosity, I'd just like to ask all you presidentials, how many of you had a business before you signed up in Manatech? 95% of the hands went up.
Right.
And that was a big aha to many presidentials. I saw many jaws drop because they realized they'd been talking to the wrong people, and if we truly want to touch a lot of lives, we must talk to the people who are already entrepreneurs and ready to get going. And that was a big aha.
Big business people. Fine business people. Absolutely. And that was huge. Thanks, Joellen, for reminding me on that. It was like 95% of the people in the group. I was a businesswoman. I had my own business. I mean, it's just amazing. And those are the people, they're entrepreneurial, they're right-minded, they're successful-oriented, and they're on our chicken list. We got to get them off the chicken list and start approaching.
Can I briefly ask
week. You? Okay, one last question.
Yes, please. I got attitude, belief, and values. I'm not sure if I got the other two on your list.
Okay, the five?
Yes.
That you're looking at when you're evaluating people, what you're
yes.
going to do is look at attitude, world view.
Okay.
Does the person, how does the person view the world? What, are they looking at the world like they owe them something? Does he believe that people work hard and smart and persevere and successful, okay?
Okay.
Okay. And so you have attitude, worldview, belief, ego.
Ego. I see. I had those as subcategories. Thank you very much.
That's a separate category in itself. Evaluate the ego. I mean,
okay.
Are they totally egocentric, that they're going to be uncoachable, unworkable, or is their ego? Because most successful people have an ego. I mean, we're all built with egos. How large is that ego, and where is it aimed? Okay? That's what you look at. Okay? All right, great. Okay, love you guys. Have a great week, and next week we'll talk about marketing plans.